Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of divine well going on over there. Everybody look at the divine well. See, I mean human well. A lot of human well going on over there. Right, well, look, watch. Look at it, see? Okay. Ding, ding. I wish I had one. All right. Okay, so we're going to continue. Now, if there was any water over here, the water was not blessed. They got the barrel out front. You got to pour that water in and get the water that's in there. None of the water that was over here was blessed, because I already had done that out front. Just pour the water in and just take the water out. That'll do it. Now, my daughter Louisa, firstborn of my divine will. So here is how much Jesus loves Louisa. He didn't say this about St. Francis. He didn't say this about St. Thomas Aquinas. Louisa, the firstborn of my divine will. What does this mean? This means that she possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Now, you have to remember, last year, the Vatican came out with a book saying the Son, S-U-N, of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. I mean, this is, you know, people don't like Our Lady. What are they going to do when they see this little newborn? They're going to despise her. I mean, some Catholics don't even like Our Lady. But who is this newborn that Jesus says, Louisa, firstborn of my divine will. Louisa, listen to something beautiful about my supreme fiat. The soul who lives in my divine will and allows the divine will to reign in order to let it form its kingdom, my divine will, by locating itself, transfers its perfect balance into you, Louisa. And now, if we want this, we also can possess this. Listen to what it says. The soul who lives in the divine will allows the divine will to reign in order to let it form its kingdom. My divine will bilocates itself, transfers its perfect balance into a human soul. He didn't do this with the saints. He didn't do this with the holy men and women of the Old Testament. They had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. This is bilocating God, all his divine qualities. This is the last part of the prayer here, asking the perfection of divine qualities to enter into us. Elevating, listen to this, elevating her so much as to make her find in all of her acts the balance of both God and soul, unifying God and soul, rendering God and soul inseparable. See, this isn't about being a saint. See, Jesus, he says this to Louisa, people find that hard to believe. He says, I'm done making saints. Now I want them to share in my divinity. This is what the priest does every day at Holy Mass, puts the drop of water in a chalice. That's us, the drop of nothing, entering into that cup filled with wine. The drop of water becomes wine. Jesus says, I want you, that nothing, that drop, to share in my divinity. We haven't seen anything yet. As I'm a member of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, you haven't seen anything yet. When the angels are released, the angels are bound. A good portion of the angels are bound. That means their power has not been released. God has not released them yet. Creation has not seen anything yet. It hasn't even begun. We are in the redemptive stage. Jesus says, in the creative stage, every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every grain of sand is an I love you to every human being. He says, redemption, every drop of blood, every tear, every sigh, every sadness that Jesus and Mary went through is greater than everything made in creation. That's all the stars and planets in the sky. He says, sanctification is greater than creation and redemption combined. What does that mean? That means each person here praying in the divine will. When we pray in the divine will, we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Every drop of water, every blade of grass, every grain of sand that ever existed, every sigh and tear and drop of blood of Jesus and Mary. We're taking all of that in the name of everyone and presenting it before the Father with an I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you. All of creation goes into praise. All of creation goes into glory. That's heaven on earth. Jesus says, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, we think we know this and we know that. I've studied the piano and I'm a pretty good pianist. Well, no, I don't think so. God is going to be doing things that are going to astonish us for all eternity. I think of the weightlifters. You know, they spend 7 hours a day, 7 days a week, maybe they had to take a day off, straining them. And they end up dead like all of us. But they wasted all that energy, all that time. For what? Now think about that. Think about the people that spent all that time learning how to practice tennis. Think about all the people that learn how to play an instrument or all that wasted time. Now, if you're doing it in the divine will, that's a different story. That's a whole different story. But when people are doing this for their glory, it's a total waste of time. So what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying to us, I want you now to share in my divinity. And that's what he says to Louisa. He says very clearly. Okay, where are we? I get lost. I usually have a pen in my hand. Okay. Oh, okay, way up there. Okay, I was down two paragraphs. So the creature finds herself in the Son. See, this is not a pious thought. The soul finds herself in the Son. What are we doing? We're adoring God and loving God for the light of the sun. We're adoring God and loving God in the leaf on the tree. We're adoring God and loving God in the blade of grass. Everything is an I love you from God. And like your breath, you breathe in the I love you. God wants to hear the I love you. Breathing out. Every leaf on a tree, I love. He said that to Louisa. He says, what do you see on the tree leaves, Louisa? And she says, I see your I love you, and I see your mother's I love you. And Jesus says, where is your I love you? And Louisa says, oh, I want my I love you on every leaf on a tree, instantaneously. All the leaves had I love you of Louisa. That's God doing that. If I had to do it with a pen, I'd be on one tree for the rest of my life. But Jesus says, what do you want? I want to adore you for every leaf on a tree. Fiat, it's done. What do you want? I want to praise you in the name of every dog that ever barked. It's done. See, because Jesus is doing it. You see why with Mother Teresa it was one baby at a time. Now Jesus is saying to us, I want everyone to get to heaven. Will you help me? Will you do what I have done? And what is that? That's to live in His will. Do as my mother has done. What is that? To live in God's holy divine will. So what does He say to Louisa? You are the newborn. You are the firstborn, Louisa. You become the mother of the second generation of the children of light. It's a whole new beginning for mankind. So the creature finds herself with a son. To do what? The balance act of my divine will does in the son. The soul finds herself in the sea. Why? to do the balance act of my divine will that it does in the sea, in the heavens, and the little flower that blooms to give off its fragrance together with it, and the little bird that sings to cheer the whole of creation with a balance of joy. Luisa finds herself in the fury of the wind, of the water, of the storms, of the balance of justice in some, my divine will cannot be without Luisa. And the soul's linked to Luisa. They are inseparable, and they live the life together. God and man is the kissing of heaven and earth. It's the beginning of the marriage, the wedding feast. Now, as I was praying over there, I prayed for to bless everything in the room. We'll do it again for everybody, but also the rings that you have and that you will have. Let Jesus show you His ring. Let Jesus show you. Accept His proposal. You know, it's the people that have become third order Benedictines. You are religious. Oh, you can be buried in these too. If you want it, if you get one of these, you can be buried in it. I'll have Mother write to you and Father Elijah write to you. This is very, very, very important that we become part of the little family of Luisa. And it doesn't mean you have to be Benedictine. I'm not saying that. I just find for me, it's a comfort knowing that we're all, my prayers join in with the prayers of everyone. It becomes a powerhouse. If you need prayers, you, honest to goodness, when you write to Mother, when you write to Father Elijah, watch what happens. It's the prayers of the divine will that's happening. And it's really, really beautiful. So, Jesus says, He wants us to live inseparable from Him. He wants us to live a divine life together with God. And that's what's going to be so much fun. As you begin to experience the Lord, and what He does is He shows you, this is how I want you to pray. See, remember St. Teresa, the distractions bothered St. Teresa. The one nun would splash Teresa while they were washing dishes. And Luisa would get upset. She'd say to Jesus, you know, tell this nun to stop splashing me. And Jesus says, it delights me that she splashes you. So she'd get real close to the nun. She'd get more water. Then she'd get yelled at because she was soaking wet. See, distractions won't become distractions. Distractions is Jesus saying, I want you to pray for this. Okay, Lord. It's oh, I got to get these prayers done. I got to make sure I get this done. And Jesus says, be one with me, one with my mother, through Luisa, and let me teach you how I want you to pray. A siren, an angel, and something goes by. Lord, for whoever is sick right now, who's ever dying right now throughout the world, and then you could say, whoever has died, whoever will die, I ask that your blood cover them so that they can be allowed into the kingdom. Forgive them of their sins. I want to stand in their place and say to you, Jesus, have mercy on me. I want to stand in their place like Moses did, standing in the breach. I don't want, if they've never thought of you, if they've never thought of your forgiveness, do you see how this is going to change the world? This is not one little prayer for your family. It's to enter into the divine will. It's really magnificent. Okay, so volume 20, February 11th, 1927. Questions. My daughter Luisa, these strings, oh, you're going to love this. As in a musical instrument, are symbols of the soul in whom my holy divine will reigns. See, Jesus says there was a harmony. Adam lived in music. It was harmony when Adam was alive. He adored God and loved God and praised God and thanked God in union with all of creation. And when Adam fell, it was silent, Jesus says. There was no more praying in the divine will. And then he said, when my mother and I came to earth, there was this sound. The rounds began again, this music, this harmony. He says, and when Jesus and Mary left, it ended. And then he said, now you, Luisa, with you having this gift and you giving it to others, this is the book of heaven, this symphony is happening again. You see what's going to happen? As this music of heaven continues through us in our prayers, the devil has to flee. He's been banished from heaven. He's going to be banished from earth. This is what's coming. This is the kingdom being established. Jesus says he has such great plans for his children. I, God, place everything in order. The string of love, the string of goodness, the string of power, the string of mercy, the string of strength, the string of wisdom, the string of purity, and some everything. I, God, have not excluded even the string of justice. But you, Louisa, you know why I have disposed all these strings in you? Because wherever my divine will reigns, I, God, want to find all of myself and all of the things that belong to me in such a way, whatever I do in heaven, I must be able to do in the soul on earth, in whom my supreme fiat dominates and reigns. See, we begin to live heaven on earth. I, God, must have my throne, my melodies, so as to be able to vibrate the sound of mercy to convert souls, the sound of wisdom to make myself known, the sound of my power and justice to make myself feared. I, God, must be able to say, here is my heaven on earth. That's through us, linked to Louisa. Heaven is coming to earth by the souls who want this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. She's a secret. God loves secrets. Like I said, the greatest secret on earth is Jesus in every Catholic church. Jesus, that candle lit in front of the tabernacle says, Jesus is present and the churches are empty. Mary says three things. She says, wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and attend First Saturday Masses. Three things. And it's a secret. Nobody does it. See, Jesus, he loves secrets. This is the biggest secret right here. A human possessing divine will. Why haven't I heard about this? Why don't I know this? Do you know about Jesus in the tabernacle? Nobody's there. Do you know what Our Lady said? Wearing the scapular, praying the rosary, and attending First Saturdays? Nobody's there. When I mean nobody, maybe 30, 40 people. Nobody. The town has thousands of people in it. Nobody's there. So Jesus says, what I love, I keep hidden. I keep secret. And I will only... He did that to the apostles. Why do you talk to them in parables, but you explain to us the things of heaven? It's the same thing here. Why has Jesus showed us this divine will and not everybody? I talked to this one. He's a top theologian at the Vatican. And he says, how many books does Louisa have? I said, she's got 30 volumes. Now, 30 volumes, it's this big, by this big, by this big. You can read it in a year. He says, who has time to read 36 volumes? I said, well, I do. He says, who's going to read 36 volumes? I said, well, I am. He goes, I'm not reading any of that. And here's a top theologian who says, we've got all this stuff already. We got John of the Cross. We got Teresa of Avila. We don't need anything more. Do you think God says, listen to what John of the Cross said. He says, there is something coming even greater than what I am saying. What does St. Teresa say? I want to live in those final days. What does St. Thomas Aquinas, what did he say? Everything I've written is mere straw. Jesus has dictated these words to Louisa. And when they say, well, Louisa's writings were condemned. No, that's not true. None of Louisa's writings were ever condemned. What was condemned, Louisa condemned. What was condemned was the Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary that her spiritual director crossed out pages and rewrote. Oh, she must have meant this. She didn't mean this. She must have meant that. And she says, I condemn them because these are not Jesus' words. So when you hear somebody say, oh, Louisa's writings are condemned, they don't understand the history of Louisa. As a matter of fact, when he put the Nihil Erbstadt with the imprimatur on her writings when his canonization came up in 1990, October 7th, a good friend of mine, Acuna, from Mexico, went to see Cardinal Ratzinger, thank you. I knew his name was there. And they said, how can he be canonized when he gave authority to condemn books? And it was, thank God for Acuna, Jose Luis Acuna. The cardinal said, well, let me read these. He read them, and he said that's from the letter that he gave to Acuna that brought to his archbishop in Mexico. The writings of Luisa must be produced, must be published. That was in 1990. This is just astonishing. You know, when you see the devil, the devil knows, he sees this light, the light of Jesus, the light of Mary again, in human form. And now he sees it as we read in us, little lights, not big lights, tiny, tiny little lights, but they're different. It's like those blue lights on the highway at night. There's something different. And the devil is very, very angry. Very, very angry. And he's going to try to stop this. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening, like the Archbishop dying, but God's got other plans. God's got greater plans. And all I want to do, this is what I really want to do. I want to have a cigarette and I want to have a beer in my hand. I want to get a lounge chair. I want to watch what God's going to do. Because this is going to be really exciting. It's really going to be. I'm going to just go, wow, you are so amazing. Because he's already got it all set up. And, you know, the previews are, you know, on the internet, you know, everything's ready. And God is going to intervene. And it's going to be glorious. It really is going to be glorious. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. Here is my heaven in Luisa. Now, when we're linked to Luisa, Jesus says that about us. Here is my heaven. Why? There is peace, there is joy, there is happiness. We want to begin this now. Our worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity are crucified with Jesus. They don't belong to us. And that's what Jesus is saying. February 23rd, 1927. Moreover, since all our divine qualities, listen to this, all our divine qualities are as though spread in creation and each created thing occupying one office of our divine attributes, so one is the child of our divine power, another of divine justice, one of divine light, another divine peace, another divine goodness. In sum, each created thing is the child of each one of our divine attributes. And when you, Luisa, bring me the whole of creation, you, Luisa, are the bearer of my divine happiness that is spread within it. And I, God, recognize my child of light in the sun, my child of justice in the sea, that of the empire of the wind, that of the peace of the flowery earth. In sum, in all created things, I recognize each birth from my divine attributes, and I, God, enjoy and recognizing my children, and whom the little daughter of my divine will brings to me. That's our prayer. Can you imagine bringing to Jesus the I love you of leaves on a tree, the I love you of a dog barking? Lord, here's something. For all the dogs that ever barked, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. I mean, I try to find things that nobody ever... I remember years ago in the rectory, I would try to find something that nobody thought of. And I saw dust balls under my bed. And I said, for all the dust balls that ever existed, I love you, I praise you, I thank you. The lady that was cleaning in the room, she couldn't get down to do them. So I had those dust balls for years. It was great. I adore you, I love you, I praise you. See, you don't have to get upset. I remember some person, it was a couple priests, they looked at my room and they said, how can you live here? I said, I just close my eyes and go to sleep. And they said, I can't stand the color. I go, well, what is this? It's just a color, you know. And then I noticed on the ceiling everything was peeling off, but it was just a place to sleep. We're only here for a short period of time. It's only a short period of time. So again, this is what Jesus is saying. I want to recognize my divine qualities in everything. Volume 21, February 26, 1927. My divine will in the sea makes the exposition of its power and speaks of the murmuring. See, when the waves, it's a murmuring of God. It speaks of the billows. It speaks of the gigantic waves, calling man to love it and to fear it. You know, it's just, who are some sailors here? I think there's a couple sailors here. I never knew what it meant to have sailor's legs until, you know, I got on a boat. You know, I'm ready to do this, but I wasn't ready to do this and this at the same time. And it's powerful. The waves are powerful. And God is really, He says, I want you to love this and to fear it. It shows the power of God. It shows the strength of God. And think about that. Last Sunday, Peter walked on that water. And when it began to swell, he became afraid. He feared it more than loved it. And Jesus is saying to us, I've got great plans. It's going to be kind of fun to walk on water. I mean, there's no limit to what God is going to do for the little children of the Holy Divine Will. There is no limit. Tesla, think of Tesla last century. What did he say? He says, I have free electricity. He says, but it's not for this century. People want money. He says, it's for the next century. What's coming is going to be really a riot. Free electricity. I mean, that's right. It's so close. You know, God has got, He's got great plans. Hydroponics. I met a man in Atlanta who had chickens, had food, had hydroponics, had fish, had a way to clean it and produce electricity. And I looked at him. I said, "You know, God is using you to get ready for the new era." He says, "I can't." He says, "I can't get this off the ground. Nobody wants it." And I'm going, "Who wouldn't want this?" Well, there's it would put everybody out of business. But you see, Jesus, there are many, many people, people here who have made wonderful things. And it's really, really amazing that God is getting everything ready. And everyone that I met who God is doing this stuff with, they're all in the divine will. He's refining us. He's getting us ready. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to worry about. What is coming, God is going to take care of His children. Remember, He said it will happen like in the time of Noah. Noah did not get wet. It's the same thing. We're going to go through the storm. But there's nothing to worry about. Nothing at all. So Jesus is saying that. He's saying very clearly. And in seeing itself not listened to, this is the power of earth. It makes its exposition of divine justice and changing those veils into storms. It hurls itself at man inexorably. Volume 21st, May 13th, 1927. My daughter Louisa, if to you it seems that I have left you and you are not feeling my life in you, my divine will has not left you. So we're going to feel isolated at times. And Jesus says, if you're reading, I have not left you. On the contrary, its life in you was in its fullness. And that's what we're going to see. That's what God's going to show us. Indeed, it does not leave anyone, not even the damned in hell. Rather, it is there fulfilling an inexorable and irreconcilable justice. In fact, in hell, there is no reconciliation. Even more, it forms their torment. That's what I was talking about before. If you can't forgive, you have to go to hell. If you can't forgive, don't expect going to heaven. I don't care how much you love Our Lady, how much you love our Lord, how much you say you love the divine will. In hell, there is no reconciliation. If there's no reconciliation here, you have to go to hell. Because you love God as much as you hate the person the most. That's how much you love God. This is deadly serious. We have to understand Jesus wants us in heaven by His rules, not ours. And He talks about hell more than anything else. He says very clearly here, it is right that one who did not want to receive the divine will in order to be loved, made happy, and glorified, receive it and be tormented and humiliated forever. I mean, when you die, everybody's lost hell. Everybody's going to heaven. Read the lives of the saints. They don't say that. Well, I'm not as bad as the person next to me. Well, they're going to hell, and so are you. We have to be in the state of sanctifying grace. We have to be true Catholics. For example, keep holy the Sabbath. What do we do on Sunday? This is just one little thing. What do we do on Sunday? We're breaking a commandment of God. It says, keep holy the Sabbath. That means no shopping. That means, Sunday I'm going to exercise. I'm sorry, it's the Lord's Day. It's not a day of exercise. It's not another Saturday. Keep holy the Sabbath. What does that mean? It really means Jesus wants you to get closer to Him. People get upset with me because I try not to do anything on Sunday. And I remember once I didn't have something. I had to go shopping, and some people took me to a store. And the Walmart, not Walmart, but the place was packed with people. I said, "What happened? I really don't shop on Sunday." And they said, "It's like this every Sunday." I said, "Why? It's Sunday. It's not another Saturday. It's not a place for entertainment. It's not a place for dinners. Well, I'm going to go out to dinner with my family. Well, make it at your home. Don't make somebody wait on you to serve you to break the Sabbath. Do you remember the blue laws? They're coming back, you know. Let me just tell you, God's going to bring it back. And it's going to be keep holy the Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. It's not our day. That's just one little thing. Jesus is asking us, He's pleading with us to be Catholic. Don't be Protestant. The protesters. Why be one of the protesters? They protested against the Blessed Mother. Blessed are you among women. They protested against Jesus in the Eucharist. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And they protested against Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. Blessed are you, Peter. The three blesseds, the Protestants, the protesters went against. We cannot do that. We have to be Catholic. It's very important to be Catholic. And we're going to be tested. And we were taught in the seminary. It was very, very funny. We had some of the worst of teachers and the best of teachers. And we were taught not by the best of teachers, not to compromise. And not to compromise. And after everything fell apart and the seminary was closed, my spiritual director said to me, the test wasn't the courses. The test was, are you going to be faithful to Jesus and His church? And it's unfortunate, but that's the test that's failed most of the time. Faithful to Jesus and His church. It's not to do a job. Jesus says that every priest is going to be proclaimed. He says to the priest in the three appeals, You give the people a hard bread, a stale bread that they cannot digest. He says, live in the divine will and they will have a food, the first bread of God, the first bread of heaven. And they will be able to be faithful Catholics. See, all the priests in the world who survive will be living in the divine will. And the reason I say survive, my sister a couple years ago bought me a coffin. It's great. I was going to put it in my living room as a coffin table, but well, it's very important. Time is short. I mean, I look at Archbishop Beceri. You know, he had another year to get everything done. God said, no, you're coming to heaven. We pray now for the new Archbishop, and he be on fire with the Holy Spirit. We pray for the new Archbishop that he loves Luisa, and that through his zeal will bring about this great gift to all the world. This is a glorious time to be alive. You can't be on God's wrong side, that's for sure. You got to be on his good side. So, okay, are we done with that first paragraph? We've got one more. Do you know where we are? Oh, March 16th? Oh, okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm sorry. My eyes go after a while. Volume 21st, March 16th, 1927. Here's Jesus. I, Jesus, represented the new Adam, who not only was to give the remedies in order to save mankind, but I was to redo and to restore what the old Adam had lost. This is why it was necessary for me to take on human nature, to be able to enclose it in it what the creature had lost, and through me give it back again to mankind. It was justice that my divine will have a human nature at its disposal that would oppose itself in nothing so as to be able to lay its kingdom once again in the midst of creatures. More so, since the human nature had taken away from it its right to reign, and so another one was needed that would return its rights to the divine will, and that was Jesus, the new Adam. My daughter Luisa, a sorrow of mine poured into the secrecy of the heart of the one who loves me and has the virtue of changing justice into mercy, and my bitterness changed into sweetness. And this is Luisa. This is why God wants us to be with her, changing justice into mercy, changing God's bitterness into sweetness. We do this not only for our family, not only for our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and our parishioners, but we do this for everyone, past, present, and future. Volume 21, March 31st, 1927. My daughter Luisa, you do not know how my burning heart wants to run with love towards creatures, and while it runs, they reject it. While they run toward me with the most brutal offenses and with the most horrendous pretenses, and so, as my love sees itself being persecuted, my justice enters the field and defends my love, striking with scourges those who persecute me and uncovering the pretenses that they make, not only with me, but also among themselves as nations, because in brawling they reveal themselves that instead of loving one another, they hate one another fiercely. This century can be called the century of the most awful pretenses, and among all the classes. And this is why they never come to an agreement among themselves, is why they apparently, it seems that they want to agree, but in reality they are plotting new wars, pretenses, that has never brought true good, either in the civil order or in the religious order, at the most a few shadows of the fleeting good. And so, here is how they are converting that peace, so praised with words, but not with deeds, into preparations for war. As you can already see, many different races have united to fight, some with one pretext, some with another, and more shall be united together. But I, God, listen to this, shall use the nation of these races, because for the coming of my kingdom of divine will, it is necessary to have all the union of all the races by means of another war, much more extensive than the last one, in which Italy was involved financially. Through the union of these races, the peoples shall come to know one another, and after the war, again, this is what Jesus is promising, the diffusion of my kingdom, of my divine will, shall be easier. Therefore, having patience and bearing my privation, this is the void that my divine justice wants to form in order to defend my persecuted love. You, Luisa, pray and offer everything so that the kingdom of my fiat may soon come. The volumes came out in 1996, 40 years later, after World War II. I mean, what he said has happened. The kingdom is close. Remember what he said to him? He says, the kingdom of God, you're close to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. No, not anymore. You have to understand. With Luisa, the kingdom is here. With Luisa, as we begin to live this, we begin to live the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Read the 36 volumes. If you disagree with me after 36 volumes, I'll listen. But if you haven't read the 36 volumes, you haven't heard what Jesus said. You haven't heard what the cardinals have said. They want these books published. We are really in the dark without this book of heaven. And Jesus says, after the Second World War, everything's going to start to begin. Here we are. I mean, we're looking into the heavens, what John the Evangelist wrote about. This is astonishing. I cannot comprehend all the saints who read read Revelation 12, all the saints who read that, which we read today, studied it, looked upon it. It's about now is the time. Now things are going to change. And what is he doing? He's using us, the bottom of the barrel. We're nothing. We're nobody. We're the least. We're the most insignificant. We're laughed at, ridiculed, persecuted, mocked. And Jesus says, because that's what he went through. He needs us to get a glimpse of what he is going through. And he says, will you say fiat? And we say fiat. And then he goes, will you say another fiat? We go, fiat. You know, it's constantly one step at a time. He's not going to overpower us. He can't overpower us. If we say, Lord, I can't do this, he says, fine. If we say, Lord, you're saying this about Luisa and I can't believe it, he says, fine. He's not going to fight us. But what is important, if you read all 36 volumes, there is no questions. There are no questions. Every question, Jesus says this to Luisa, every question of every human being is answered in the 36 volumes. Every question. So when people come to me and they say, Father, what about this? What about that? I said, read the volumes. Well, I can't read 36 volumes. Okay. You can't be answered. Jesus wants to answer you. All right. And we'll end there. Okay, we've only got 10 more pages to run through. I think we can do that in the next hour. We're really going to get down to the... All right, well, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit...